Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2025 Cure Duchenne Futures Conference in San Antonio, Texas. And our guest today is Elaine Colin del Rio, President of Duchenne Mexico, a nonprofit organization headquartered in Cancun that advocates on behalf of patients and families throughout Mexico. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me at your podcast, and we're really honored.
Wonderful. Let's start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved.
Well, I'm a Duchenne mom. I have a son who's 6 years old. I had the diagnosis last year. And when I went into the doctor, they gave me no hope. They say there's nothing else you can do here. So just like go and live your life with your boy. And, you know, my husband and I were devastated. And then we found out there were more things to do outside my country. So that's when I said, what else can I do to help other families, like to not go through the road I went to?
Your son is named Carlos.
Carlo. He was first diagnosed as an autistic boy when he was 2 years old. So I even went to a genetist and he said, it's autism. So I was, you know, I went to a specialist. So when I get off the consultation, I was really relieved. He didn't tell me anything else. I said, oh, it's autism. My boy can run because autism. My boy can go up the stairs because autism.
Was he speaking at that time?
He was starting to speak.
So you can't say he was nonverbal.
Exactly. They say everything this is happening is because of autism. So I was like really, really happy. You know, you go out the door of a specialist and you feel relief when they tell you. I mean, I was from autism. I did know about autism when he was 2 years old. He was now getting 5. So autism was already in my life. And so I was really happy and really relieved to know that it was just that. But I have another son. And he was running too fast. He's younger than Carlo.
Is he autistic?
No, he's neurotypical. He doesn't have Duchenne. So I could start seeing that my oldest son was really delayed in a lot of things, that my youngest was going through a normal develop. So I got into a PT and I said, oh, because of the self-esteem of my boy, I want him to get better. Maybe not like a normal kid because he's autistic. So when the PT was doing like the medical criteria, what he was doing on therapy, I started saying everything, and I didn't know back then that I will do the Gower sign to the PT. You know, I was like, my son is how this, he gets up. I didn't know about the Gower sign.
You mean the Gower maneuver?
Yeah.
Which is very typical of boys with
Duchenne. Yeah. So I said, I exactly did it. And I remember her eyes, like her eyes were wide open. And she said, okay, we have to look further because this is no autism. I was like, okay. So at the next appointment, he saw my kid, he saw his cults. And he said, okay, do you know about Duchenne muscular dystrophy? And I said, no one ever has talked to me about that. And then we got into the gene test. And a month later, it was confirmed.
Was that through CK?
Nope. We didn't know about CK. Luckily, she just mentioned the genetical test. I didn't have any in Cancun. You can get a genetical test. We're from Cancun. So we had to drive 4 hours to Mérida to get the genetical test. And they confirmed the diagnosis 1 month later.
So in Mérida, you can get a test that is not available in Cancun.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you need a genetist to give you this exam. And I said, I don't want a genetist because I went to one and he didn't tell me I needed this exam. So I said, I don't want that. I want this exam. So I fought with them to get the exam. They didn't want us to make the exam for us. So
I wonder why.
Maybe because, I don't know, they thought I didn't know about muscular dystrophy or what the implications were. And maybe they were afraid. Like, I don't know, maybe I sue them because they give me something without medical advice.
But once you found out that Carlo had muscular dystrophy, what was your reaction and what did you do next?
I'm a person that doesn't take a no for an answer. So I start looking all places. I noticed there was so much little information in Mexico. I had some friends to make me an appointment in Mexico City. I went a month later to visit the doctor. And actually, when I came to a consult, I was like, oh, my son has muscular Duchenne dystrophy. And he's like, how do you know that? And I was like, I got a genetic test. And he's like, why? I was like, telling the same story I'm telling you. And he's like, you got the CK. I was like, no, no one mentioned it. And he was like, okay, he didn't believe me. He didn't believe
me. So at that time they did a CK test?
Yes, they did it because I showed him the genetic test and he was like, I don't know that lab. So it's weird you don't get a CK. And I was like, okay, just keep make the CK. And my son was 18,000.
Yeah. When did you start this organization and what is its mission?
I found out in March. In May, I find out about Duchenne Parent Project in Spain. So I flew to Spain. I went to a congress. I met everyone there. I start educating myself about Duchenne. And I say, wow, why there's nothing like this in my country? And I met a lot of parents that were fighting for Duchenne for their family and for other families.
And when was that you started Duchenne Mexico?
In June last year.
Very interesting. I just want to ask you, in terms of regular, just statistically speaking, yeah. Mexico is a pretty big country of a population of nearly 110 million.
Yes.
Based on what you know, how many boys and young men with Duchenne do you think live in Mexico?
Well, this is one of the biggest problems we have as a country. You know, there's a network in Mexico. I'm one of the sixth organizations in the country working for Duchenne, and I find out that even though they have small patients, like, well, not fewer patients, for example, in Mexico City, we know they have 100 patients being taken care of. In Chihuahua, we know there are 75. In Guadalajara, we know there are 60. In Cancun, 34. They're not the numbers.
Of course not, because Mexico City is almost 30 million people.
Imagine. So when I found out about what other associations and nonprofits have for numbers, I said, this is impossible. I mean, you're talking about maybe 6,000 of cases, which we don't know the faces. We don't know their names. We don't know their mutations. There's something we have to do.
There should be probably, for every 100 you think there are, there's probably 1,000.
Exactly. And there's another thing going, you know, Latin Americans, we tend to have a lot of children. Like families that have 4 children, 5 children. And we know, like in rural cities, there are, I already know cases that family that have 5 Duchenne boys.
5 boys with, yes, Duchenne in one family?
Yes, yes. And they don't know the mutation because they're like in rural places. They just went to a doctor like I did, and they told them that there's nothing else you can do here.
We have written about families that have 2, and I remember one case in Arizona or Nebraska, was it? 3 boys with Duchenne, but 5 I've never heard of.
Yes, they are in Mexico. Actually, there are 4 in Chihuahua, in the Sierra, which they have to like go 2 hours to take care of them. And in Cancun, we already heard, well, not in Cancun, in Quintana Roo, which is the state.
The state, right.
Yeah. There's 4 in a place called Jose Maria Morelos, which is 4 hours driving away from Cancun.
So these families do not even know what kind of mutation the boys have. So therefore, they can't possibly be on any drugs that can help them even now.
The even worse thing is they're not even taking steroids. You know, I heard a lot of families in Mexico that the doctors don't even know they can take steroids, something that is already even available in Mexico.
That's basic.
Yeah, and they don't know they have to do CKs. I have heard boys that they are doing biopsies to know about Duchenne, which you already have a gene test, or even a CK.
Right.
Even a CK that is really, really cheap. And it's like the 101 Duchenne.
But these are things you can also learn online.
Exactly. But the thing is, you know, I think like I did, you first look into your country. So if there's nothing giving you the information like in home, like you say, okay, maybe there's people they don't understand English. Maybe there's people, like, if you look home, why will you think there will be information in Spain? I mean, there's people like have never lived Cancun or a rural place. So maybe they don't look somewhere else.
So
that's
why
it's so important to make nonprofits local,
right,
work.
So I want to ask you, I mean, there are already several organizations here in the States that cater to Spanish-speaking families, for instance, the Akari Foundation.
Yes, actually, we have a great story because one of the families that are right now here, they came because they talked to me. They look for the information. Well, when I talk to them, their kid is 13 and they start looking for information when their kid was 4. And they start hearing there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do. So they stop looking for information. One of their family members said, oh, I found Duchenne Mexico on social network. So the mother contacted me and I said, can you go to the States? And I said, you have to go to Cure Duchenne Congress. And she was like, I don't know. We already tried this. I said, please, you have to come. So she came with us, like with some Mexicans. And now she knows she can get Sareptas or Elevidis. So she's like, she's overwhelmed.
Is that approved in Mexico?
No, but she's trying to come here.
So how does that work? If somebody is not a U.S. citizen, they don't have money, but they have a boy with Duchenne who may qualify for a gene therapy.
Well, you know, when you get Duchenne or another rare disease in your family, you do whatever it takes to help your family. So This family, other families are selling everything they can. They're working their ass off to get to another country because they don't have this opportunity in our country. So what we want to do is we don't want any more families to leave the country because of this disease or any other disease. And then that's why in Duchenne, Mexico, we're working to get the information, to get the doctors, to get a national registry. The national registry is the more important thing.
But I need to ask you, We're talking about a drug that retails for $3.2 million, which puts it out of reach of nearly everybody on this planet. How can an average Mexican family afford, especially if insurance won't cover it? How could they afford the drug?
They have to get insurance here. There are maybe some families that can look up to that, but I mean, 99% of Mexicans can do that.
Are you working with Sarepta for some kind of compassionate use program?
We're trying. We're trying to make everything. They actually have a clinical trial in Mexico, so the door is open. What they need and what other pharmas need is the national registry. That is very important. I have talked also to Spain, and they said, you know, the things start to change when we got our national registry. So that's when we're working as a group with the other 5 nonprofits to make everything national, like to work as a group for all the Duchenne patients.
To try to, first of all, get a number on how many there are.
Exactly. And even though, like I talk, for example, to Ital Farmaco, and they say, okay, maybe because it's too expensive.
These are the people who make Juvenostat.
Juvenostat, right. For example, they told us, maybe it's really hard and really expensive for some families to get the mutation, but you can do so much if you just get like the correct Duchenne diagnosed. And that's not happening in Mexico.
So I want to ask another question. This is nothing to do with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, but in general, healthcare in Mexico is, as we know, it's not really the best. You now have a new government in power.
Yes.
Does this give you any reason for hope or not?
Well, I have to make a difference and a statement here because we have the best private care. We have the best private doctors.
If you can afford it.
The thing that's happening in Mexico, that the private doctors are not getting updated because they already have their patients. So that is getting also a problem in the rare diseases area. And if you say about the public, they don't even know what muscular Duchenne dystrophy is. They diagnosing autism, they diagnosing cardiac failure. I have talked to the government, to the like the PT government areas. And you know, I went to one place and they say, oh, we have 8 muscular dystrophy kids. And I was like, what? And I said,
that's impossible.
Are they Duchenne? And then, oh, we don't know. They just muscular dystrophy. And I say, do you know what Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
They don't know.
They don't know.
In terms of your organization, Duchenne Mexico, how big is it? Do you have any full-time employees? How much of a budget do you have?
Yes, we have 3 full-time employees, which are making everything in communication. It's all private budget right now. We're not getting fundraised.
So who is financing you?
I am financing it.
Personally?
Yes.
What about pharma companies?
Not yet, because they're not yet interested in Mexico.
Well, the obvious, at least short-term solution would be to get care in the United States. I mean, we're right over the border. Why go to Spain if you can come to Texas, for example, or California? But now with tighter border controls, that might be next to impossible.
Yeah, I think that is pretty much getting impossible. But as I said, I mean, it's not logical for us to leave the country. And this is what makes me sad for the new government, because I know they're doing a lot of construction and a lot of things in Mexico, but I say, what does construction help when you get diabetes or when you get another rare disease or even when you get cancer?
No, those aren't rare at all.
You can even fight that right now in Mexico. Imagine now a rare disease, like we're all the way last in the agenda.
Amazing. Before we wrapped up, we're a little bit over time. If you could sum up your kind of short-term goal for this, for Duchenne, Mexico, what would it be?
First national registry, then get clinical trials, and luckily get more of the medicines that are getting FDA approved into Mexico. That will be my main three goals.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Lynn Colleen del Rio, president of Duchenne Mexico, at the 2025 Cure Duchenne Futures Conference here in San Antonio, Texas. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.